All right, guys, welcome back. MGM Marketabilities Podcast. Like we said at the end of the last episode, we're going to talk about personal development today.
Yeah, and some of those terms.
You know what's funny is I get excited about it. Like,
you do?
I do, yeah. I actually like personal development.
Listen, I worked with somebody. I worked with a gal who was so far ahead in all of this and these new punch terms and things that you hear today. And I remember looking at her like, wow, that's a really brave move. But she was not afraid to ask for a, get this, mental health day.
Yeah.
And I think that was the expression on my face when I saw her do it. I'm like, how is that going to be received? But she wasn't like a gal who missed a lot of work, but she wasn't afraid to be completely honest with, because it was a high stress position. It was, you know, fast paced. You're seeing a lot of things. It was the news business. Yeah. And some days would just be too much. She's like, no, I'm going to
take
it.
It doesn't stop.
No, it didn't stop.
Even if you need to stop, it still doesn't stop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why do you feel like we need this whole personal development and being aware and have a level of sensitivity in the workplace?
Because the only way that people get better for you, your company, or your family, or whatever, is if they get better. And they can only get better if they grow, if they develop. Mm-hmm. And so if you don't leave room for development, you don't leave room for growth.
Yeah.
And that sucks.
That's amazing. That's a wonderful way to put it. And I think no matter what your feelings are on this, if you will listen to what we're saying and just put it into play, I think you'll be surprised at the outcome.
Yeah. Once I started my personal development journey, I was in college. I heard some 20-year-old talk about making a ton of money, and I just got inspired and I started reading. And to put it into perspective for everybody, I was not a reader. I failed one of my English classes in high school.
Wow.
Had to go to summer school just to make sure I had enough credits to graduate high school. Did you know I was such a bad student? Did you know that?
You did tell me. And you said your parents let you get away with it, which I was super surprised at.
Well, kind of. I mean, I hid it as much as I could from them because I just didn't want it. But you know, I kept my grades up for the most part during soccer season so I could still play. But,
priorities.
But no. And so at one point, it was bad. Like, I thought something was wrong with me. My parents even took me to Sylvan Learning Center to fix my reading. And now, I mean, I read minimum 20 to 30 books a year and I just can't get enough of it because, there's something special about finding that one thing that's going to take you to the next level.
Mm-hmm. And you journal, I think. And I also think you do a lot of reading and studying in the morning, which sort of sets your tone for the day.
Yeah.
Have you gotten away from that? Or are you still doing that?
No, I'm definitely still reading in the morning. I have shifted on what I'm reading in the morning. Okay. I kind of only switched to like ancient wisdom.
Oh,
so the Bible,
love it.
Much older books, like books written in like the early 1900s, from people who I really respect and like how they write and stuff.
Some of
it's kind of funny to read, but you know, because of the language barrier. But but yeah, I've switched to really because there's just a lot of fluff now in a lot of modern books, which I get.
And repetitiveness. Like so many people are doing the same things. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I'll go read a book that was written in the 1920s that's like less than 100 pages. And every page is full of just chock full of wisdom.
That's awesome.
That it takes this person 200 pages to write about.
How about that? Huh? Wow. Yeah. It seems to be, I don't know. I'm doing the fast scroll now and I'm thinking about things that I've been hearing lately and it seems to repeat itself. To be the most interesting person in the room, read these 9 things. Or, well, think about that. If you and, you know, millions of other people are reading these 9 things, who's really the most interesting person in the, there's a bunch of copycats.
Yeah.
So I like your approach, you know, uniqueness and finding what it is for you does it, you know?
Cause there have been several books that I've read that I've like not enjoyed, but everybody raves about them. Okay. It just didn't work for me.
I know, same. I'm in a couple, I actually have 3 started right now and I'll
you need
do some,
to go down to 1.
Yeah. I'm like, I'll read some pages. I'm like, man, I am not getting this. Cause I keep thinking there's going to be an aha moment or an epiphany, but I'm not. So yeah. And I think that just goes to show you that we're all still very unique, you know, and we all need different things to fill our bucket.
Yeah.
To feel full.
Not everyone develops the same way.
No.
And not everyone will because everybody is raised differently. Everybody had different experiences growing up, different circumstances.
Absolutely.
And so the way that you learn something, like a lesson in life, to compared to the way that I learn a lesson in life, will be completely different. Mm-hmm. But like, we can read the same text and it can mean completely different things to both of us.
Right. Yeah. I agree. And it also depends on where you are in life and your journey, like what type of books you should be reading right now. You know, if you're really grappling with something, like maybe it's a marriage thing. Maybe it's, you know, how to be a better portion of a couple, or, you know, being the better part of the couple. Or maybe you need to feel strong if you're an entrepreneur, and maybe you need somebody to pour into you in that avenue. So I think that's something to consider.
And I think also, so what some people do is they see this person raving about a book, and don't take this the wrong way, but like, maybe it's above their reading level at that current time.
Right.
There are some books that I still read today that are so like dumbed down for me because I want to understand the concept at a base core level.
Right.
And there's a lot of people who try to put a lot of fancy words in these books and stuff. I'm not going to read it. Like, if I don't understand half the words I'm reading, I'm going to put it back down before I get up to that level.
Yeah. And I want you to think about this. And I think this is what I'm going through with some of these books that I'm reading right now. You know, all these people who claim that they're going to help you be as successful as they are, and you could do this and you could do that. And I'm fairly certain that they're not doing all of those things, or they wouldn't have felt like they needed to write another book and get it in your hands. And, you know, sometimes you just read a book and you're like, okay, that was nothingness.
Yeah, it's really funny. Alex Hormozi, I think, is one of the funniest people about that kind of type of thing, because he's like, I don't have a morning routine. He's like, I wake up and I start working. And he's like, that's about it. He's like, that's my morning routine, is work.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like, some people like to have a morning routine and it helps them. Some people, you don't even need it.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of times where it gets convoluted, where it's like, do these four things when you wake up and you'll be really productive. Mm-hmm. But some people just aren't built like that. Mm-mm. Like, they don't need to go run 5 miles and read 20 pages out of a book and do all this stuff. They just need to sit down behind their computer and start working.
Right.
Yeah.
It wasn't always like this for me, but today, my 53-year-old self, I can't wait to get out of the bed because of all the things that I could accomplish in that day.
Mm. Yeah, I need that from you, because I'm not like that every morning.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
that's crazy. Okay, here's my shortfall. I get to the end of the day, I'm like, well, that didn't go as well.
Did I do any of those things?
No, I will make myself do something, you know, every day. But put it this way, my list in my head in the morning is probably a lot more than I get accomplished. I have good intentions, and I will definitely work down that list, but it may not all come in a day. And that's okay, because that leads us into the next thing is, you know, you have to take care of yourself. You have to build, the same time you're trying to improve, there needs to be some resilience there. Like, don't be so hard on yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. That's one of the biggest things. That's been one of my biggest pitfalls. Is I will go into comparison or something with someone else. And
well, I'm going to interrupt you, because I grappled with this for a long time. You shared with me that you were suffering at some point from, I think you called it imposter syndrome.
Well, I still do. I mean, it's not as
I can't see that.
It's not as bad anymore. Okay. But it doesn't I'm at the moment now where it doesn't cripple me.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Okay.
It's those thoughts are still coming to my mind every day of am I the right person to do this? And I've been really good about just being like, yeah.
We'll see.
The evidence is already there.
Right.
I think now that I have some evidence of like, oh yeah, this is right. This is what I should be doing. It's a lot easier. But at the time I didn't have as much evidence, or at least I didn't look at it as evidence. Mm-hmm. So thinking about what other people think and whatnot is a tough thing to get over, because we live in a culture where it's just judgment after judgment.
Oh yeah. But how much of that is smoke and mirrors too? And I went through some of this even today. We're a marketing ad agency at Growing Media. I am more than aware that there are agencies and video production houses doing things better than we're doing them.
Sure.
Okay. But those agencies don't have us.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a commodity in my mind. So, okay, maybe we're not the best at this, but you also can't give your clients this experience.
No.
What we're going to provide. So find the uniqueness in yourself and what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And don't look so much at what other people are doing and wondering how you compare and stack up. And I think that's showing yourself real grace.
Yeah, well, and it's just like, it pulls you out of like, there is no competition.
Right.
Because they're not me.
Right.
And it doesn't necessarily like, it's not skills or anything like that. It's like, it's just you in general. Like, you're going to make a decision completely different than this other person mm-hmm. who you think is better.
Mm-hmm.
But you may make a better decision for this particular client than they would.
Right.
Because
Absolutely.
Of how you are.
Absolutely.
And so once you put that into perspective, it's like, it doesn't really matter anymore.
Yeah.
About those people, what they think, what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's really about what you can do. And
so true.
And a good quote that I heard that I try to just remind myself of, and I forget often, but it says, it's a quit remind yourself of it enough
because you're not, okay, what is it?
Exactly.
Do I need to Google it?
No. Quit asking how good you are and start asking what the world needs of you.
Ooh, that's mature.
Because it's a total reframe off of you. Because that's whenever you're talking about, am I good enough to do this? Are they going to judge me? That's selfish thinking.
Right.
That's so selfish in a way of like me. Yeah. Instead, you mean like, well, what do these people need from me?
Wow. That was good. I'm glad you remembered that.
Yeah, it's so good.
That was really good, you know. And it's those are the type of things that I like to read. See, I'm going to write that down. If I get up tomorrow and I read that, I'm set. I am set. But the thing that in my maturity, what I've done as an entrepreneur of today and, you know, somebody who worked for a lot of other people in years past, balance. If you can find balance in your life, and let me tell you, there's not a dollar amount that's going to make you feel in check and mm-hmm. balanced. There's not a relationship, a car, a place you can visit. None of that is going to bring you, you know, balance. In my life, I put Jesus Christ first in all things that God would have me do. And that is my prayer daily.
Yeah.
You know, maybe not the world as much as what does he want me to do.
Sure.
But also taking time to work hard, but to care for myself as well and my family and my friends and strangers and find that balance. It doesn't always have to be work and channeled. It's okay to open it up, you know?
Yeah.
It's not a race and you're not going to finish any differently.
Yeah.
But imagine leaving a legacy in your tracks.
Right. Well, it's like, what are you more worried about, the money or the quality of life?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And some people have said that one equates to a greater than in the other, but I don't know.
Only so much. I mean, like, I think
it's nice to pay your bills.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, I think genuinely in the United States, if you can get up to $100,000 a year, you're going to be relatively happy. But anything after that, it's like, what difference is it really going to make? You're eating great food, you're living in a great house, and you can go out to eat and have fun and go on vacations, right? So it's like, the money doesn't matter then. And it goes back to that quote of like, what does the world need from you? Because if you provide what the world needs from you, mm-hmm. you're going to be compensated super
well. That's right. That's right. And you're going to have enough. I think that's another word to remember is there is enough.
Yeah. And you have to, you have to define enough for mm-hmm. you. Like, you have to sit down and actually decide, okay, what is enough for me to actually be happy? In all honesty, it's probably not much.
That is so true.
It's probably not much.
That is so true. And it goes back to, you know, this is a crazy way of thinking, but what does the world need from you and how much can you give back? Think about that as well, you know, because you're going to be super surprised when you have that feeling, if it's the first time for you of giving back to the point of it hurting, like give it away, you know, keep what you need to enjoy your life and not have stress, because I think there is something to that. And none of us like those days where we're working three jobs, whatever.
Right.
But also just giving it back, man. And it always, it's that boomerang effect. I mean, you give it out there, it's coming back. It always comes back, you know, twofold, threefold. It's just, I don't know. You can't explain it. There's no science behind it.
Yeah. It's just how the world is built.
It is.
Yeah. I mean, God gives us to us. He gives to us unconditionally.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever we give, he's like, oh, here's some more.
That's right.
Every time.
Here's some more.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, I love that. I don't know that we have more time. So is that it?
It's okay. Yeah.
Okay. Listen, guys, Market Abilities Podcast, we appreciate you telling people about it. Share it, reshare it. comment, like it, let us know what you want to talk about. Heck, yeah. Come on the show. We got two extra seats here. So come on.
Yeah.
We will be moving the studio soon.
Very soon.
The largest podcast studio in Southern Illinois.
I don't know if this will be the last episode in this room or not. Maybe. Probably.
Maybe. You think?
I'm just going to say maybe right now.
Okay.
But
so stay tuned.
Yeah, stay tuned.
All right.
See you guys.